My dad, Pastor Salem, felt blessed to be in your homes each week to reveal God's mercy, grace, and everlasting love. We hope you will invite your friends and family to join us to worship Him together. I'm Mike Salem. Every day we read such uplifting letters from you, and we are grateful. A viewer in Texas recently wrote, "Thank you for reaching out to me while I am incarcerated with your encouraging words and newsletters. It means so much, and Pastor's teachings are also very helpful to me." In the message today, Christ's answer to man's needs, Pastor reminds us that Jesus is the answer to all of your needs. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are by the grace of God, and we're going to worship His wonderful holy name. And we're going to be looking at Jesus today and how He is the answer to our every need. And so maybe you know somebody that's having a little hard times, a little trouble, sorrows or something, and just tell him, give them a ring and tell him, tune us in. And the Lord Jesus, when you get to know Him and trust Him, everything changes. We're looking at Psalm 90 today. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are as but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. And so this wonderful God will give us peace and help in the time of trouble. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for being such a kind, loving Father. And You do love us. You loved us so much You gave us Your dear Son, who paid for our sins with His own blood on the cross, was raised the third day. And so we love You, Lord, and we're looking to You for help and guidance as we walk this wilderness journey. For we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing today, Over the Sunset Mountain, and God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Over the sunset mountains, someday I'll softly go into the arms of Jesus, He who has loved me so. Over the sunset mountains, heaven awaits for me. Jesus, my Savior, I see. Toiling will all be ended. Shadows will flee away. Sorrow will be forgotten. Oh, what a wonderful day. Over the sunset mountains, for me, over the sunset mountains, Jesus, my Savior, I'll see. Jesus, my Savior, I'll see.
Thank you, Melissa. And won't that be something when we see Jesus face to face? And now we see Him just through a glass darkly, and we get to see Him in the Word of God. And if you want to know what God is like, just get to know what Jesus is like. And if you want to know Jesus, get to the Bible. Just read that blessed book. And we're just thinking about Him and looking to Him, but someday, face to face, great time. Well, we have some letters. We want to thank you for the letters. We appreciate it so much. And we read every letter you send us. And if you have a spiritual question, we try to answer that for you as well. And so our first letter, well, first of all, if you have your Bibles, before I forget, you can turn to John chapter 9 and just leave it open because we're going to go through an incident there where Jesus helped somebody in real need. Redfield, South Dakota writes and says, I've been homebound since the summer of 2004, the result of a stroke. I look forward to your worship service on Sunday mornings. And so we're just so happy to hear that we're able to minister to this dear brother. I think this is a gentleman that wrote. And you know, that's one of the great things about one of our ministries. We have three things in mind with the Christian Worship Hour. The first is to honor God, to glorify God. The second is to bring the lost and those who drifted away, bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third is to help the shut-ins, encourage the shut-ins and those that can't get out. And that's exactly what we're doing, this dear friend. And since 2004, he has his stroke, but he has the Lord, and he has the joy of the Lord, and this can be his church. We're so honored that he's a part of our congregation today. Here's Spring Valley, Minnesota. And this lady writes and said, I've asked Jesus into my heart, so I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Can you help me? Now, she's asking a question that a lot of people ask. We hear it every so often. And they have accepted Jesus, but now they want to be filled, have the Holy Spirit within them. Well, I got some good news for you. The minute you accept Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. You see, we're poor, terrible sinners. And God has to cleanse us and make us pure in the blood of the Lamb and place us in the body of Christ. And so to take that sinful person and cleanse them of their sins and place them in the body of Christ, that process is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's given to us in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And what that means that the Holy Spirit takes us, a poor lost sinner, and he cleanses us and washes us in the blood of the Lamb, and he puts us in the body of Christ, and then the Holy Spirit dwells with us, and he's with us forever. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, he will be with us forever. That's why you can't lose your salvation, because the Holy Spirit was within us. And so we just rejoice in that. Now, what you need to do, and that is, after we receive the Holy Spirit, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit and let him control us. And sometimes when we accept the Lord, we just kind of do our own thing, but we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, let him direct us and lead us and help us. And there's joy in walking with Jesus. If you have more questions on this, just write and we'll send you some literature. Here's Worthington, Minnesota. I love this letter. Worthington, Minnesota. Here he writes, this is a gentleman. Another year has rolled by. I am now 103 years old. I so much enjoy your singing and preaching. The first pastor I remember in my church just drove a horse and buggy that was about 1920. He retired, went back to Chicago. My dad bought his horse, Kate, and the buggy. I rode to town in the buggy with my mother. She drove up to the livery stable, and they took care of the horse while my mother and I went uptown to do our trading. Trading was right as mother took eggs and traded them for groceries. People seemed more religious in those days and appreciated life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'll see you again next Sunday. Keep up the good work. In God's love, and you know what his name is? Harold. I'm telling you, that is so wonderful. And it took me back to the 30s and when we used to farm with horses. And we just remember the same thing. And I remember going to town with my mother. We didn't take eggs, we took cream. And you go to the creamery and he'd figure the price, he'd give you a check. And we'd go there to the Red Owl then from that. Mother would take out 10% for Jesus. We're dirt poor, but 10% went to Jesus. And then she'd get the rest with groceries, then we'd go home. And that was it. And so that's just wonderful. You remember Mother always taught us that 10% belongs to the Lord, and that's what the Bible teaches us. 10% belongs to the Lord, and He gives us 90%, and He wants us to put 10% to show that He's the Lord of our life, leading us. So here's this wonderful, his name is Harold. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say that originally all the people in the world was named Harold. And then God says, now all you that sin, change your name. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I sure do like that story. Here's Alexander, North Dakota. I've asked Jesus into my heart. Now listen to this. We get this letter, we get this sometimes too. She says, I have asked Jesus into my heart. I prayed to Jesus two or three times a day, and each time I ask him into my heart. Now, God bless you. You need to ask Jesus just once. Jesus said you'll be born again. You know, you were born again physically just once. And you can be born again spiritually just once. Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you must be born again and again and again. But now what we have to do is, sometimes after we've accepted Jesus, and he'll never leave us or forsake us, he's in our heart, but we have sinned. Maybe we've told a lie. Maybe we've been harsh on somebody. I don't know. It could be a lot of things. And then we confess that sin so that our fellowship with Jesus isn't broken. But you don't need to ask Jesus. You ask him once. You're born again and you're forever his, and you can't be lost, because it's eternal security. And God holds us in his hand, and God will never let go of us. Now here's a letter, St. Francis, Minnesota. And this person says, thank you so much for the new song you send me. My husband and I go to a nursing home to do a church service. I was able to use the one you sent me this month. And so here's the new song. What's the new song? It's a little paper we put out every month. It's a little Bible study. And this month, our Bible study is 7 Reasons Why I Know I'm Going to Heaven. And it's all from the Bible. So it's not from somebody's vision or dreams or died and come back to life. It's everyone is from the Bible. 7 Reasons I Know I'm Going to Heaven. And you say, well, I guess you would get to heaven being a preacher for 72 years. That doesn't have a thing to do with it. That'll never save my soul. It's accepting Jesus Christ. And that is so simple. You just tell Jesus, I'm a sinner. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can as long as I live. Thank you, Jesus. You pray that prayer and you mean it, you're born again. You are forever a child of God. And so you just get your pencil and paper. I'll give you the address at the close of the service. But you can get it, and it's free and postpaid, the new song. Let's see here, Aberdeen, South Dakota, good old Aberdeen. And this lady writes, you give me strength. Since I gave myself to Jesus, my life has new meaning. God bless you and your staff. And that's exactly right. When we accept Jesus Christ, we're born again spiritually. And their life has new meaning and purpose. And we have a peace in our heart, and we can have joy as we walk with the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are a new creation in Christ, and we're in the image of God, and we have the Holy Spirit to help and guide us. It is wonderful. It is so wonderful. And maybe you'll be thrilled to death, and you'll get goose pimples when you're right to accept the Lord. And maybe you just won't have anything, but you're just a contract. You're in its agreement. It's a covenant that God is saying, if you accept my son, I'll make you my child. That's all there is to it. So you accept Jesus, and if you have feelings, good, and if you don't, doesn't make a bit of difference. Transaction is done. Let's see, Velissa, Iowa. And this person wrote, we sold our soybeans We want to give you some money, and look at what they say. Want to give you some money that belongs to God. Right on. Right on. You know, everything belongs to God, doesn't it? We just work in the store. Store doesn't belong to us. World doesn't belong to us. We just work in it. We're in the vineyard working. And so when we at least to give a tithe, and St. Paul says we should give proportionately. Some should give more than 10% because they make so much. They don't need all that money for themselves, and they can give it to the Lord's work. So these people, right on, they're giving a tithe. 10% is the Lord's, and you just can count on it. Well, here's one more. Pleasantville, Iowa. We do appreciate your worship services, as we do not get to church services. We are 97 and 93 and do not drive anymore. It's so good to hear the gospel as we learned it when we were younger. We pray for your work and hope you can continue spreading the word, as it is so encouraging. And this is a wonderful, wonderful letter, because these people, 97 and 93, and you know, and they don't drive anymore. You know, when you get old, or you get past 90, boy, you better drive pretty good. I'm 95, and I still drive a car, but I'm scared to death. If I sneeze, they'll probably take my license away from me. They take that old fellow. What's he doing with that car, see? And probably I'm saving some of these young people zipping around. I don't know. But here, these people, they can't travel anymore, but they can worship with us. And that's way all over the world. We have people that can't get around, can't get out. And maybe you're being in a place where you can't go to church. You'll be put to death if you go to church. And you can worship with us, and we worship with you all around the throne of grace. And they say here, it's good to hear the gospel we learned when we were younger. You know why you're hearing the same old gospel? Is because it's the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord never changes. Psalm 119, verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's word will never change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's a glorious time preaching it. So we just thank you for these letters. And one lady wrote and said, "Well, I am always afraid to ask questions, but these people are asking questions that I've had questions about, and I'm so glad to hear the letters." And so we spend a little more time on the letters, because these are things, this is where you're at, and you have questions, and we're going to try to answer those questions to the best of our ability. But now we need to have you write to us, and we need your help. We need your help financially. And you write to the Christian Worship Hour, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. Or if you want to send a gift, you can send it at ChristianWorshipHour.com, and we can get a gift that way. And whatever we have to just, is like James says in the book of James, God says, he tells us, you have not because you ask not. And if we don't tell you have we need, well, you probably think, well, they got plenty, we don't need any help. We're dependent just on God's people. We don't have any church or denomination or organization or corporation or anything like that behind us. We just have God's people. And so you just ask God if he thinks that you ought to support this ministry. And if he says yes, then you say, now how much? And God will tell you, and you be faithful. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. I'm giving this now for those on shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, what if I send them my money and they don't spend it? What if they spend it on themselves? What if they get a fancy car? What if they get an airplane and fly around? I don't know how they're using that money. Well, I'll tell you how we're using that money. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. They audit our books. Not only what do we take in, but how we spend it. And we account for every penny. And so when you give to the Christian Worship Hour, you can count on it. It'll go to the work of the Lord. And then if you want the little booklet, the little paper, the new song, mark that down. We'll be glad to send it. So now I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and then you give as God lays on your heart. And if you listen to the Lord and he wants us to go, we'll continue till he comes again or takes us home. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who support this work. Thank you for speaking to your people and supplying our needs. In the Savior's name, amen. Thank you, Jan. That's just beautiful. In Christ I stand. And I'm going to tell you here this. He's the solid rock and all the rest is sinking sand. And if you're not centered on Christ, if you don't have Jesus, you're lost. You're lost forever in that place that Jesus talked about where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it isn't popular to talk about that anymore, but Jesus preached it. And if he preached it, I'll preach it. And you need to come to Jesus. And you can just come to him and just ask him into your heart and ask him to take away your sin. And you make him the Lord of your life. You live for him. And God will take you home. You'll be safe. Well, we're reading from John chapter 9 today. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in India. We pray every week. We pray for our brothers and sisters in some parts of the world. And in our prayer today, we're going to think especially about India and the children, the little children that suffer because of the persecution. In John chapter 9, verse 1, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and he said, the man that is called Jesus made clay. He anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received my sight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that while we may not be blind physically, We are blind spiritually until we have you. And when we come to you, you will wash us of our sins and you'll give us spiritual sight. And your word of God will mean so much more to us. And everything will change. Our goals in life will change. And all our feelings and our fears will be gone. And our faith can come. And we can have peace and joy in our heart. And Lord, it doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles and trials and sorrows. We're going to have them. Jesus says in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so we can just, no matter what our condition might be, we can rejoice in you. And Lord, now we're thinking about our brothers and sisters in India, especially the children. And my dear God, how they're suffering. Some of them giving their life. Some laying down their life for you gladly. But they refused to renounce you. They went to their death. And so we just thank you, Lord. We don't pray for those who lost their life because they're in your presence. They're rejoicing and they're wearing the crown, the martyr's crown. But we pray for those that are left behind, and especially the little children, the innocent little children, and how they suffer and how they cry and hurt. And oh, it must break your heart, oh God. And we wonder how long you're going to let this thing go on. And yet you wait and you wait because maybe somebody else will come and be saved from hell. And you're merciful and you're long suffering and you're giving them another chance. In the meantime, bless, and we know you'll bless those children and take care of them. Now, Lord, we just pray you'll bless us in this service, and that it'll bring many to know you as Savior, and that it'll encourage all of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Barb's going to sing God on the Mountain, and God bless you, Barb.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. And you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make things right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of the faith when you're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley with trials and temptations. It's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Still still God in the night.
Well, thank you, Barb, and we can sure say an amen to that. Because sometimes we're on the mountain, sometimes we're in the valley, but it doesn't make any difference. God is with us, and he'll help us. And he says, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. And that's why I just love to preach. I love to preach because I've got good news. And that good news is that if you take Jesus Christ into your heart and just pray and say, Dear Jesus, I want you, please come into my heart. I've sinned against you. Use your own words. And just tell him, and maybe Billy Graham says, if you got some big sin that really bothers you, name your sins and to do it to Jesus. Don't do it to a man. Do it to Jesus. And you just tell him you're a sinner. He knows it, wants you to admit it. And then say, just please come into my heart. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I'll come into your life. I'll come into your heart. And then, when you're on the mountain, you can sing, and when you're in the valley, you can sing too. You're like the robin, the birds, the robins. They sing in the rain, and that's the way we can do it. Well, we're going to look at Jesus today and how he answered needs. This wonderful Jesus, and I don't care what your need is, he is the answer. And just put your faith in him. Once you receive Jesus, then just trust him. And I know that sometimes we get a little nervous and we get worried a little bit, but just trust Jesus. It's hard for me sometimes too, but I just put your faith in him. Everything will work out. Now in this story, Jesus is in Jerusalem and he goes to the temple. And then John says he saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples ask him a question in the second verse. They say, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answers them in the next verse, verse 3, and he says, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. And then he goes on to proceeds to tell the man born blind. The neighbors in all of Jerusalem are talking about this man being healed. And he is healed because Jesus comes to the man and gives him healing. Some can't believe it's the same man. And the disciple, the man declares in no uncertain terms, I am he, in verse 9. So they says, you just can't believe it, but yes, it's true. Now then the Pharisees come into the picture, and they're all upset. And are they upset not because he received his sight? No. That's not it. They're upset because he did the healing on the Sabbath. And that just gets them. That he would heal on the Sabbath. And it didn't matter to the Pharisees that this poor man, now he could see, now he could make a living, now he could make money and he could help somebody else out. That didn't matter. The matter thing to them was, oh, they worried he did it on the Sabbath. And that just couldn't get out of their craw. So the Jews go to the man's parents. And the parents, and they says, confess. And the parents confess that, yes, this is our son. And then they say, he was born blind. And yes, now he can see. But then they push him a little bit, but they won't go on record. And they don't. And so they throw it in their son's lap. And they say in the 21st verse, he is of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. The parents were afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid that these old Pharisees, if they got mad at them, they would excommunicate them from the temple. They could not go within the doors of that temple to worship God. And that was the worst thing on earth that could happen to them except death. And to some of them, they would rather die than be excommunicated from the temple because they thought in that temple they had special access to God. And so they're afraid they're going to go. They dodge the issue, and they ask our son. So the Pharisees, they ferret around, and they run down the man, and they question him again. They urge him to deny Jesus. They put all the heat on him that they can. But the man doesn't break. He simply tells him, I do not understand how it happened. All I know is that he healed me, that this man called Jesus healed me. And furthermore, then the man says, I think this man is from God, or he couldn't do these miracles. And then the old Pharisees, they go about crazy then. They think that if this man says he might be God and he heals on the Sabbath, they're in a tizzy, the poor souls. And then it was that someone told Jesus about this man, that they're going to excommunicate him from the temple. And then they finally, if they go wild, and they did excommunicate him, and they says, you can't enter the temple, you can't have connection with God anymore, you're out. And so the man cries, and he says, I don't know what to do, and I don't know which way to turn. And Jesus comes, and he hears about this man, and he comes to the man, and he talks to him. And Jesus looked upon him, and he comforted him, and he gave him strength. And the man cries out, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him as God. Now that's the story in a nutshell. Now what do we see from it? Well, first of all, we ask the question, what causes sicknesses anyway? Here's a man blind from birth. And by the way, this is the only instance on record where Jesus healed someone with a congenital sickness. The disciples ask, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? He was born blind. And so if he'd been born blind, it's hard for him to sin, except that some of them believed in the reincarnation. And they thought that he lived the one life, and then he was born, brought back into this life in a second time around or third time or whatever. And this time he comes in blind because he's been bad in a previous life. They were teaching that among the Jewish people, and some of them believed it. And so the others taught that it was a sin of the parents, not the son himself, but the parents. And in some sense, they were true. They were right, that because some of these sins do come because of the parents. Take, for instance, the babies that are born with drug withdrawal because of some mother. That child is suffering because of the parents. Sometimes they suffer with AIDS. They're because of the sins of the parents. Those poor children have AIDS. And sometimes the babies suffer because their mothers are smokers, and it affects their little bodies and their little minds. Yes, sometimes they do suffer because of their parents, but not in this case. Jesus said to them in so many words, that it is not the man and it's not the parents. And he never really did answer them. He just said, we need to be about the Father's business. And I think Jesus is saying, let's not worry about why these things happen. Let's not be saying who's to blame about all of this stuff. Instead, get to work and bring people the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to be careful, too, that we don't judge people and say, well, you got sick because you were bad. And somebody gets an ailment, they say, oh, he must have some secret sins. And you need to be very careful, because the scripture doesn't back that up at all. Take, for instance, the story of Job. When we read about Job, he said Job was the most righteous man of his day. And that's not what the neighbor said. That's what God said, who looks at the heart. And it says in Job 1, verse 8, God says of Job, there is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And yet Job lost all of his property and was a rich man. And he lost his family. He lost 7 sons and 3 daughters in a storm. And then his friends come to comfort him. But they think, well, he's got some sin, some really bad sin. And so they come to comfort him. And one of them he comes in, his name is Eliphaz. And they came in and they sat down, first of all, they sat down and they waited and then they talked to him and they say, is not your reverence your confidence and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember now, Eliphaz says, whoever perished being innocent, or were the upright ever cut off? Even if I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same, and the blast of God they perish, and by thy breath, the, his anger, they are consumed. In other words, Eliphaz is saying, Job, you got some secret sins here, and that's why you're suffering, and that's why you're going through all of these things. Eliphaz didn't know any more about it than the old gossip. These old gossips going around and passing judgment, they don't know up from down. And Eliphaz, that's what he was. And he says, but one thing about Eliphaz, it was nice. He talked to Job face to face, didn't go behind his back. And he says, Job, listen, God never punishes the innocent, and the innocent never suffer. And you're suffering, and you've got sin. And why don't you just come over and just say, oh my goodness, why don't you just forgive, ask for forgiveness, and God tell God your sin, confess your sins, and then you'll be all right. I've seen this happen, and many times people say that about themselves. I remember one time, years ago, a wonderful Christian lady, and she began her older age. She got sick, and she was in the hospital and had to have a leg amputated. And I remember it as plain as day. She said, Pastor, I must have done some terrible sins when I was young to have this happen. Now, you remember Jesus? He was perfect and he was sinless. And who suffered more than Jesus? And for us to say that these people suffer because of their and punished because of their sins, that isn't always that. They're not suffered because of their sins. Because when Jesus forgives us our sins, he washes them all away. And there's no double jeopardy with Jesus. He doesn't forgive us and then 50 years punish us for those sins. They're all washed away. But here, this is what happens sometimes. We bring these things on ourselves. The result of those sins, they're all washed away, but the result of those sins may follow us. Here's a man. He's a heavy drinker, and he gets cancer of the liver. Now, who's that host to blame? Is God to blame for that? God isn't punishing him for that sin. He'll forgive him for that sin, but the result is there. It carries on with this liver cancer. And so we have to be careful. I've been with these people. I remember one man dying, and he was a father, and he had his children there. And the children were angry with God that God would let this man die. He had lung cancer, heavy smoker. So who's to blame for that? And God will forgive us of all of our sins. But sometimes after we've ruined that body or that mind, if you've been on drugs, you ruin that mind, just come to Jesus. But you may have to suffer some consequences. But it's not because God is punishing you. You're punishing yourself. You're reaping what you sowed. And then in this story, we see something beautiful that ought to happen in our life. And that is real faith grows. We grow stronger in the Lord. We need to do that. We need to be in church. We need to find where a church is preaching the gospel, or you need to get a group of people and have a Bible study. Read your Bible. Read good Christian books and serve the Lord the best you can. Look in the story of this man, for instance, and he's healed, and they come and talk to him. And in verse 11, he says, a man called Jesus healed me. All he knew was he was a man and his name was Jesus. That's all he knew. Verse 11. Then you go to verse 17, and he says, he calls him a prophet. He says, I believe that he might be a prophet. And to say that a man was a prophet was an extremely high honor, and a man he was close to God. And then you go on to verse 33, and he concludes, he is a man of God, sent from God. And then you go to verse 35, and he says, he is the Son of God. You see him grow? And that's what we have to strive for. I know there are some Christians, I'm going to tell you, they were little babies in Christ 40 years ago, and they're still big old squalling babies. And they have no more spiritual depth to them than the man in the moon. One pastor told me, he says, I got a bunch of people in my church. He says, they've been Christians for a long time. He says, they're just like balloons. He says, I don't know which one's going to blow up next. Shame on you. And this man, God expects us to grow in grace. And Paul says, you ought to be eating strong meat and strong meat. And here you are, you're still on the bottle. He's talking to the Corinthians. Grow in grace. And then we see here the awful curse of legalism. Now look at this for just a minute. Here's a man and he's born blind. All of his life he sits blind. He's begging for a living. He has to live on what people give him. And everybody knew the man and everybody knew his family and everybody felt sorry for him. But how could they help him? They just felt sorry for him. Now here comes the Son of God. And he heals the man. He restores his sight. He can go to work. He can work and now he can give to other people and help other people that are in trouble. Would to God that would be cause for rejoicing. The whole town ought to be rejoicing. And they were, but not the Pharisees, not the old Pharisees. The first thing they cry out is, he did it on the Sabbath. Never mind that he's made whole. Never mind that he can see and live again. Don't mind that. He was healed on the Sabbath. Tough, cold, heartless, legalistic Pharisees, proud and judgmental, a vindictive crowd of people, and they weren't living the life for God at all themselves. And here they is because of the Sabbath. Have you ever wondered why Jesus healed on the Sabbath anyway? Why did he do that? As a matter of fact, he could have healed him on six other days. Why did he pick out the Sabbath? Was it a coincidence? Did it just something just happened? Oh no, Jesus, things just don't happen with Jesus. He has a purpose and a reason for every word he does and every act he takes. And he picked out the Sabbath to heal. He did that a lot when you come to think of it. He picked corn on the Sabbath. He healed the paralytic on the Sabbath. He healed the blind man on the Sabbath. What goes here? Well, St. Mark tells us exactly what goes here. Jesus tells us in Mark's gospel, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Whether it be Sabbath or Sunday or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The day never overcomes the things of God. And you cut so when you get legalistic, you miss the whole point. We see it so often, not just the Sabbath. They have rules and they have regulations and they're judgmental. And every little group has their own set of rules, all the rules that they're keeping. But there's wholesome rules here that God is telling us to show justice and mercy and kindness and love and forgiveness. And there's none of that or very little in the legalistic camp. Jesus is teaching us you're saved by grace. Grace alone. Never by works, lest any man should boast. And they boast all the time. And then look at this. Jesus cares for his own. Here's this man, and he's put out of the synagogue. And what is he going to do now? He can't worship the Lord. And Jesus, looking here at verse 33, Jesus heard about, and when he had found him, here we see the good shepherd, and he's looking up for his sheep. And when we're alone, we feel alone. Remember that Jesus loves you. And maybe you're alone today. Maybe you're a shut-in. Maybe you lost your spouse. Maybe you're having trouble in the home. Maybe there's a divorce. Maybe the children are acting up. Whatever it is, you're just remember this, that you have a good shepherd who loves you. And he'll take you up in his arms and he'll carry you over the hard times of life. And you may not be spared from the furnace like the three Hebrew children, but he'll be there with you in that fire and in that flood and in those troubles. And he will love you and he will be with you and he will help you and he never will forsake you. And oh, listen to Jesus, you're never alone, this wonderful Jesus. And you see, when we look about these Pharisees, they were so blinded because they were so legalistic. They kept all of the law and they were blinded by traditionalism. And some peoples are blinded by self-righteousness. They are so self-righteous, they are better than this person. And you can always find somebody in a worse condition than you are as a rule. They have pride and they have arrogance and they have a false interpretation of the word of God, which is the word of grace. And so the Pharisees were blind, and they were blind spiritually, purposely, further, because they had every reason to know that he was the Son of God, and they chose to be blind and stay in their wickedness and their legalism and live that way. They closed their eyes to the truth, and they remained in their sin and their darkness, their blindness, their blackness. They, because they refused to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, they were without excuse. Just look at all the things that they had to know that he was the Son of God. Could be no question about it. They had John the Baptist, and he had declared to these Pharisees, "This is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Son of God," John the Baptist preached it. Nathanael confessed it, and they all heard that and confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus said he was the Son of God, and God out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. He is my Son." And Peter affirmed that he was the Son of God. And now the blind beggar is saying the same thing. He is the Son of God. Good grief, what more do you need? And yet, John tells us, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And when we accept Jesus Christ and take him as our Savior, then we have the blind, our eyes are opened, and we're not kept by legalism and by the laws and the rules and the regulations. And we have grace, and where sin abounded, the Bible says grace did much more abound. God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Did you know that the Christianity is the only religion in the world that has grace? No religion has grace but the wonderful God, this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, and this wonderful Heavenly Father, the grace of God that's greater than all of our sins. And we get letters from people, and they say, I've sinned, God, I know God will never forgive me because I sinned against light. And by that they mean I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway. Well, who hasn't sinned that way? Nobody that I know of, including myself. We've all done it so far as I know, but that doesn't matter. I've done it, and that's all I need to worry about is myself. And I need to be sure that I show grace. I've taken grace. I need to show grace to other people. And when you are wherever you are today, in any part of the world, or any part of the globe, I don't care what your sins have been, and what you're sinning now, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ like this man did, you'll be born again, and you become a new creature, a new creation, and you'll have a new nature. You'll have that old nature wants to sin, but you'll have the Holy Spirit within you. You'll have the Spirit of God within you to help you and guide and direct and encourage you, so that when you come to the temptations, there's no temptation come you that not is faithful, but God is faithful. And he'll not tempt you let you be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He'll help you through it. You need Jesus. So that's our prayer. Just pray to Jesus in your own words, in your own way. Don't worry about the thee and the thou. Just talk to him in your own language. Any language in the world, he'll understand it perfectly. And just say, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to take away my sins. I believe you're the Son of God, and I ask you to take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. I'll turn from my evil ways." Jesus taught us, you know, forsake your evil ways, told the woman in adultery, "Go and sin no more. Get away from those sins as best you can," but just accept Jesus, and then he'll help you to do that. And we'll stumble as long as we're here, and we'll never be perfect until we're with Jesus. But he'll forgive us all the time when we come to him. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, come to Jesus." Now, if you've done that, you write to us. We'll send you some literature. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. Or if you want to write to us or send us a gift, you can do it on thechristianworshiphour.com. And then you send us, and also if you want the new song, let us have that. And we'll write to you, and we'll answer your letters. and we'll work together. But you need to have Jesus, and then you need to get started in the Christian faith, and so you write to us. We got it on the screen there, and you on our shortwave radio, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And now we want to pray. And dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the wonderful salvation we have in Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that though we were blind like this man, we were blind and you came to us and you talked to us by your Spirit. And we opened our hearts to you and we received our sight. We believe that all over the world, multitudes are turning to you right now and they're praying. Oh my God, we thank you for that. And for those on beds of sickness and those who are shut in and young people who are struggling with some sin or young people don't know what to do in life and they're looking for their guidance. You have a plan for them, Lord. Help them to look to you and trust in you. And dear Lord, we'll just be careful always to give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we're glad we could be with you, and we want to thank you for opening the doors and letting us come into your apartment or wherever you are. Some of you are on tractors working. We hear from you folks. Some are in truckers that are driving. But wherever you are, the Spirit of God is there, and he's as close to you as he is to us. He is everywhere, and he just reach out to Jesus, and he's reaching out to you, and he'll take you in his arms. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. 85 years, he's helped me along the way. It's been a long old trip, and there's been up and there's been down, but Jesus is always the same. You can have the same Savior. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to him. We pray that multitudes will come, and then next week, we'll look to see you again. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs, locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.